Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texans OTA is off and running. John McClain's going to give us an update tomorrow at 10:20. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien at 1 p.m. But the Texans were in the news over the weekend. It wasn't a surprise that it happened. It's a surprise in how the news was presented. We expected tight end Ryan Griffin to be released really As soon as the team signed Darren Fells in the offseason. They brought him in from Cleveland, known for his blocking. You already drafted two tight ends last year, Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins. So you expected him to be released. But for whatever reason, he remained with the team. And when the team drafted Kahale Waring out of San Diego State in the third round, the tight end, also known as the water polo tight end, Ryan Griffin was arrested for a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor vandalism after he allegedly punched a window 50 minutes after the news happened. He was in Nashville. A friend of Griffin said he had been overserved, according to multiple reports. And just over the weekend, the Texans finally released Ryan Griffin, months after we wondered why he was still on the squad. And I got to tell you, John, as someone who's gotten to not know Ryan Griffin, but just know what he's about, what he's done in this community, everything that's gone on with him, and just the type of guy he is, I got to say, I feel very, very sorry for Ryan Griffin that the news now is being presented that Texans released tight end Griffin after April arrest, which is true, but it's being presented as if he had a chance to make this team before, but he got arrested and they decided to just get rid of him.
I feel bad for him, too, because, look, he did what he did, whether he was overserved or not. You know, you can't be punching windows and getting arrested, et cetera, and I get that. But set that aside, I will say this. I've been around Ryan Griffin a few times at non-football events. I honestly don't remember ever seeing him take a drink. Now, I know everyone has their gremlins. Everyone has their ways of wanting, turning into something they're not whenever they are served alcohol or whatever. So all I'm saying is this is very surprising. What's disappointing to me, though, is the fact that the national perspective is going to be he got arrested and then he got cut. No, he got drafted over multiple times. You know, there were two Jordans last year, too, and then Waring this year, and then he got cut. You know, it wasn't the arrest that led to him being cut. It was that.
And I don't understand why he was still around. I mean, mentally, that's got to kind of take a toll on you. I mean, I don't think it's too much of a reach or an assumption to say that the drafting of another tight end kind of got into his head, but I don't understand why they were still keeping him around. I don't really understand it, but it's hopefully Ryan Griffin can find another team. He didn't look too good last year for the record. He was very average at best. His blocking was awful, but maybe he can find the ideal situation. It's just unfortunate that now whenever he gets signed somewhere, a guy who's done all he's done in the community and a guy who really shouldn't have been dragged along as he was, is now going to have that attached. Like, if he goes signs with the Tampa Bay Bucks, it's going to say Bucks sign Griffin, who was arrested this weekend after. Like, it's just a huge reach for Ryan Griffin to be in this. But I feel bad for him, but no one's surprised by this. We knew he had no chance at making this team. Greg Rajan of the Houston Chronicle put out this, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Before the 2017 season, this was when Rick Smith was still here, but before the 2017 season, the Texans gave the following players extensions. Ryan Griffin, C.J. Fedorowicz, Andre Howell, and Jay Prosh.
Where are they now?
Ryan Griffin is a free agent who just got released. C.J. Fedorowicz had to retire because of concussions. Andre Howell retired because he wanted to do some other stuff off the field. And Jay Prosh, they released because they decided they didn't need a fullback anymore. This was Rick Smith's final offseason and the final extensions that he handed out.
What does that mean? It means this is a new regime, and with the new regime comes new faces. I think it's as simple as that. You know, it's like any other work environment, you know, whether it's here or your office, wherever you're listening, whether it's an accounting office or whatever, you know, industry you're in, You get a new regime in, you're going to have new faces because they like their own preferences in terms of style of employee, just like the NFL. Or maybe they have their own favorites, just like the NFL. I think there's been a big transition. If you go back to the 2016 roster, wasn't that the last one that was after? Wasn't his last draft 2016?
Rick Smith's was 2017, the Deshaun draft.
Oh, that's right.
That was his last gift for the city of Houston, which is a pretty damn good one, Rick Smith, by the way.
So in the last 2 years, there's already been a lot of turnover. Now, I get there's turnover every year in the NFL, but new regime means new preferences, new styles, new types of players, and those that were offered extensions are gone. It's crazy.
And Texans OTAs have begun. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Sports Radio 610. Martinez Rankin, a guy who was drafted last year by the Texans. They expected him to compete for a starting spot. However, he got injured around this time last year. Didn't get an offseason. Kind of got thrown to the wolves at left tackle for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Didn't go according to plan. He's expected to potentially start at one of the guard spots, and he says that he's excited about all the competition at tight end on the offensive line. I really want to see a clear picture of exactly, you know, there's going to be people out there, John McClain and, mm-hmm. and Aaron Wilson, among others, and some guys at the station. Sean's going to be there. And I know Sean's going to do a good job of keeping an eye on, Sean Pendergast is going to do a good job at keeping an eye on where these offensive linemen are lining up. I just want a clear picture of where this competition's going to come. And I get that they're not going to tell us a lot because that's how the Texans do things. But I just want to clearly know who's competing for the left tackle spot, who's competing for the right tackle, who's competing for the guards, who's competing for the center.
Right.
I want it clear. I don't want guys shuffling around as much as they have in the past.
I don't either, and they're going to have some candidates now. And one thing that we haven't really –
Is this a nobody's talking about?
I was just about to say.
Is this a nobody's talking about guy?
I guess talked about a lot is Nick Martin at center lately. I think, you know, because they're bringing in – so many tackles and guards. We haven't been talking about Nick Martin at center. You know, he's entering the last year of his contract. This is it in 2019. And so he had that 2017 season where we're all like, hey, now, you know, we got a center here that looks like he could become something. And then 2018 was really, as you often have mentioned, he was ranked as the fifth best center in a four-team division. That's not good. Nick Martin's got to find a spot. And I thought about it because you were mentioning Martinez Rankin, the general manager, unsolicited, said, you know, that some of these guys can play center, and that's not a good exactly an endorsement of Nick Martin there. A
couple things about Nick Martin. Wade Smith, he said that Greg Mance is better on tape at center. He said that when he watches the tape, and he watched it last year and the year before, Greg Mance is better at center than Nick Martin. That wouldn't shock me too much if that were the case. But Nick Martin, he seems like one of these guys, and I don't want to call him Bill O'Brien guys because I don't think there's really – it's not like a Bill Parcells. You remember when Bill Parcells used to have his guys and they would say Bill Parcells guys? But it does seem like there are some guys that just hang around, and they never really reach the level that it seems like the coaching staff expects them to get to. Tyler Irvin's an example. Braxton Miller. I think Ryan Griffin's even an example of a guy who just kind of hung around longer than he could. And you probably could have done without him even as early as last season. But Nick Martin seems like one of those guys as well, because it just seems like it's just been assumed that Nick Martin's a good center, despite the fact that your eyes don't tell you that, and despite the fact that guys that watch tape don't really see that. He seems like one of these O'Brien guys who just hasn't reached the level that justifies him holding on to a spot as long as he has.
It's make or break for Nick Martin as much as any of the tackles, I feel. You mentioned Greg Mance. I was real high on him after the J.J. Watt softball game. I was watching him. He was moving around pretty nice out there. He had a great effort. I'm kidding about that.
So you like the way he swung the stick.
I'm kidding about that, kind of. But, no, it's make or break for – just go across the front of the line. I mean, who is absolutely penciled in as a starter
Nobody.
On the offensive line?
Nobody. Zero.
Not even Davenport, right?
Zero. Yeah. No, because Titus Howard could beat out Davenport. There's nobody on this offensive line penciled in as a starter. And that scares the hell out of me, quite honestly, that we're a year removed from Deshaun Watson getting sacked 62 times, and we do not know who's penciled in as a starter.
How many teams in the NFL have like
zero.
Zero absolute starters on the offensive line.
There's no way that there's another team in the NFL that has that.
You have to have versatility.
No, you got it.
They do got the versatility.
They got that.
They just don't have anyone who's good at their job. They don't have anyone. They like the Texans' offensive line has a lot of versatility, but there's not one guy who's a good starting offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
At least not yet. That can change during camp, but heading into the season, there's not one guy that Bill O'Brien can look any member of the media in the eyes and say, this guy's a starter. He can't do it. And it's not necessarily because competition's at every position or the coaches speak that a lot of coaches say. No, it's because, honestly, you don't have a single quality starter at offensive line. It's going to be interesting to see how it shapes up. But at the end of the day, John, if we want to look at the glass half full, at least all these guys can do multiple things at an average to below average level. Mm-hmm. The damn V word just keeps hitting me every time. Texans OTA is underway, though. John McClain joins us 10:20 tomorrow. There's also an XFL press conference in town. Sean Pendergast is attending that. I think it's just now underway. They have him signing in. As soon as he leaves that, we're going to talk to Sean in the noon hour. And the names being thrown out there that could be coming to town, Johnny Football. Could we see him representing the city in the XFL? We'll talk to Sean about that and see if that's possible. But something very strange is going on with the Houston Rockets, and Daryl Morey is the center of it. We'll dive into it next.
I'll turn up on your bitch ass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.